Welcome to the CA, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. This podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor. So if you get offended, switch off. The CA is brought to you on the second and third Thursdays of each month. So for more, please visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/theCA, or you can email us at theca@rogers.com. And if we're amused or tweaked by your email, we'll use it on the show. And now, here's Michael and Dean.
Okay, and here we go. Welcome to the CA. This is episode 3. Today is Sunday, March the 12th, 2017. I am Michael.
And I am Dean.
And, wow, we got some cool intro music there. Well, we don't actually have it now. We didn't actually just hear it. But when you hear it, there'll be cool intro music underneath my wife's soothing voice. So how's everybody doing today? Hope everything is well. We got a few things to talk about on today's episode. So what we're going to be doing today is we're going to do news. I've got three things. I'm not sure whether they're horrifically hysterical or hysterically horrific. You be the judge. And then we're going to do our fallacy and then see if we get into any other trouble. So, Dean, you want to start off or you want me to start off?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. So for the first story we got here is from HuffPost Canada. So if you're listening to this in Canada, and I guess it was covered pretty well in the U.S. as well, the attack on the mosque in Quebec City. So that was carried out by a Christian terrorist. Let's not make any bones about that.
A white dude.
Christian terrorist. The provincial government in Quebec, in an attempt to try to ease things, decided to ban certain religious clothing. And they're talking about the hijab.
Sounds like a good idea.
Oh, yeah, totally. So I'm going to read here a piece from the article. It says, the recommendation of the Bouchard-Taylor Commission's report to ban certain public servants from wearing religious symbols is being promoted as a way to settle a long debate on religious clothing. Not only has the debate resumed too quickly after the assassination of six Muslims in Quebec City, but more importantly, there is quite simply no objective evidence to support that such a ban would help intergroup relations in Quebec. What the people responsible for this are failing to ignore is that this is marginalization of just a certain group, right? And it's like a beacon. We've seen this before with other things. South of the border, for example, members of the Sikh faith were banned from carrying their kirpan, which, for any of you who don't know, is like a little, basically religious dagger. And it's a part of the Sikh tradition. And what some people were trying to do is they would get basically a piece of fake jewelry that kind of looked like a kirpan, but wasn't actually the dagger. But they were still banned from wearing that. And it's interesting because it says again, it says right in the article about banning some religious garb.
Yeah, so you're wearing a necklace with a cross on it.
Exactly. Tell me that they're going to stop Christians from wearing crucifixes.
Mm-hmm.
No fucking way they're not going to stop Christians from wearing crucifixes. This is targeted, and it's targeted against someone who's not like us. I don't think it's anything more than religious bigotry, really.
That's the whole, church or religion creates this them and us mentality, right? You guys aren't like us, so you go stand over there.
Yeah. Yeah,
or
for
we'll
sure.
We'll just keep on hounding you until you are like us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. So I'm opposed to this mostly because I'm an atheist. I don't think that, well, I went back and forth a lot about this. You know, should someone be able to wear that kind of religious garb? Well, it's hard. And we got this whole thing, this Nike hijab thing you've seen, right?
Yeah.
All over the internet. There's a very, I don't know whether it's funny or whether it's sad, but there was one meme that got floated around just yesterday. Well, yesterday was the first time I saw it. That showed the woman in the Nike hijab and then a pile of rocks with Nike symbols on them too. Which, you know, and it's hard because I have a hard time there's a piece, a very, very, very small piece of me that says, okay, trying to empower women. But then I think if we dig a little bit deeper, Nike, you know, a company who has their stuff made in like China and Bangladesh and places like that, when they pay people nothing. So there's that, which may be a little bit of a problem. Then we also have the fact that the symbol itself, how is it empowering to put, you know, a symbol like that onto an article of clothing that is by definition oppressive?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, empowering women by changing a piece of clothing that is meant to oppress them.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that works. And like the meme says, you know, if your husband lets you.
Yeah.
Right? And for those of you who don't know, I'm not Muslim, but I've read a fair bit. And the whole idea of a hijab, you know, burqa, these kinds of, like Sam Harris calls them, women walking around in cloth bags. The whole idea of this is to protect men from their lustful thoughts.
Yes. It takes away all their femininity by covering up everything that would be unattractive. You can't see their figure. You can't see their face.
Yeah.
And there's some burqas that go as far as to put like a mesh over the eyes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a human. Well, we're pretty sure it's a human. you know, but covered up to the point where you can't see what they are anymore. And it's to protect the men from having the lustful thoughts.
Because, but if they do get raped, it's their fault.
Well, yeah, they do get raped. But, I mean, come on. Everyone, you know, almost every guy, you know, has had to take that cold shower. You know, you either have to take the cold shower or you jerk off in the warm shower, one of the two. So, it's really not that big a deal, but we're going to take this and we're going to cover up all the women's stuff like that. So,
it's profoundly... ignorant is the only word I can use, because it's not like they did some study and found that this would work. It's just that they clamor this together as quickly as possible and say, oh, maybe that'll work. And then it becomes part of their culture.
Yeah.
And like, if you ask a Muslim woman, like, she'll say she wants to wear the hijab.
It's exactly.
It's something they want to do. It is an empowering something for mm-hmm. them. And it's completely not.
Yeah, it's funny. I wrote some down here. It's like, I don't object to a woman having a choice. Like, you want to wear a burqa, a niqab, or a hijab or something. I don't give a fuck. Like, if you say you want to wear it. But do they actually have a choice? I mean, it's cultural, and all religion is inherently cultural. But if you're in Afghanistan, it's not your fucking choice.
Yeah.
You wear it, or you're fucking dead, well, or you're beaten within an inch of your life.
I don't know if it's in the Quran or if it's just a saying. They say, if you're not wearing hijab or something, and your hair is showing or is coming out of the hijab even,
right?
Every hair that is sticking out is like a dagger in the heart of Allah.
Wow. How many hairs do we have on top? I don't have a lot, but how many hairs do we have on top of our head? I don't know.
100,000?
Yeah, that's, wow. Well, hopefully Allah can take it.
That's a big hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I'd much rather prefer to educate women and get them to not want to wear it
mm-hmm.
by choice, rather than say you can't wear it. I don't want to do that either.
They have to elevate themselves to the point where they realize what it is they're wearing.
Yeah, I'm not okay. So basically what the government's done, taking away the women's rights, I'm not okay with that. I don't want them doing that either. And this is someone who doesn't believe in that. I think it's all bullshit. But I still say, if you want to do it, do it. Teach them that they shouldn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That there's something inherently wrong with the desire to become oppressed.
Yeah.
And then I think we've got something to build on.
And there's an important point there to make about atheists, the way most atheists believe. We don't want to tell anybody how to live their lives or what to do. We want them to make up their own choice, but make an informed decision.
Yeah.
Educate yourself and then make an informed decision. Like right now, I'm atheist, as you know. My wife's atheist.
Oops!
And we're not going to raise our children, you know, to say their prayers before dinner or before bed or go to church or any of that.
Demon.
But they can make their own minds up at the time. If my son learns about Judaism or Islam or whatever, and he wants to follow that faith, okay. I'm not going to say, no, you can't. But I'm certainly going to make sure that he knows what he's doing about it. Yep. Like that one quote, I don't know who said it, but I'm going to teach my kids how to think, not what to think.
No, exactly right. That's exactly right. My daughter is the same way. She now self-identifies as an atheist, which her mother's not happy about because her mother is a believer. But we had these discussions, and, you know, her mother wanted to, you know, do Bible things with her and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to stop you, but I am going to do my best to inoculate her against your bullshit. And that's pretty much exactly what I said to her. And so she would do whatever she was going to do. She'd talk about whatever she was going to talk about. And then I'd say, okay, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
What did you learn? Oh, I learned this. Well, what do you think about that? Try to take, you know, a more Socratic approach and say, you know, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Let's look at that in terms of how we know.
Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah. From what we know about the world, is that something that seems, you know, the whole, you know, the arc, whatever, 6-day creation, whatever it is you want to talk about, is this a reasonable thing? And she finally, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago or so, said to me that she considers herself an atheist as well. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm, I didn't know that I was happy. I think I was happy that she didn't fall victim, because I do think would be falling victim to the indoctrination. I don't know that I was happy, but I was happy that she had thought enough for herself and just didn't get dragged into it. And you know, your kids are both very young,
yeah.
Probably too young to understand even really what it's about.
They're going to hear about it, and I've got no qualms about answering any of their questions that they have, because they're going to meet friends that are believers and stuff like that. And they're going to just hear, you know, like my son already says, oh my God, just because it's something that he hears at home.
Oh, it's so much a part of our vernacular.
Yeah.
And
I say Jesus more than any religious person.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
Goes around, it's Jesus.
Yeah. I've tried to take it back. And now what I usually do is if I go to say it, I finish off with titty fucking Christ. Jesus, titty fucking Christ. And, you know, I found that's broad range offensive. So I managed to, that's like a shotgun approach, right?
Both women and...
Exactly. Exactly. I am an equal opportunity offender.
I don't know if any women like titty.
Well, yeah.
They're fun for us.
Yeah.
I'm not paying so much.
Exactly. Well, it is a man's world. Just ask most men and they'll tell you, especially most religious men, they'll tell you. Okay. So, all right, enough about titty fucking Christ. Okay, so south of the border. I think we've both got stories from, I got to say this because it's easy to trip over the name, Right Wing Watch. Pastor Manning. You know who this retard is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Manning, Mr. Semen in the Latte from Starbucks. He's going to put, God's going to put a cancer in all the buttholes of all the sodomites. Mm-hmm. This guy, right. So James David Manning, Trump is a demon who's having sex with the ugly, stringy-head slut Kellyanne Conway.
Well, he's got that part right.
Yeah. That's the title of the fucking article. Unbelievable. Okay. So Pastor Manning, if you're not aware, he's a radically anti-gay preacher who initially loved Donald Trump. He was like, I think there's one video you can find out there that called him actually the Messiah. He met with him. At Trump Tower, declaring that Jesus would endorse Donald Trump. Okay. But he felt compelled. He's seen the light of day. He felt compelled to withdraw his support after Trump expressed support for the LGBT community following the deadly terrorist attack at the Pulse nightclub in Florida last year. So Trump actually displayed, you know, a modicum of humanity by showing outrage over that horrible tragedy. So Manning is now completely turned, and he now calls him Tribulation Trump. And he's demonstrating that he can also be outrageously offensive while both attacking women and denouncing gay people. He released a remarkably nasty and misogynistic video, which you can look up. If you just do a Google search of Manning Conway video, I think it comes up almost right away, accusing Trump of having an affair with Kellyanne after a photo emerged of Kellyanne kneeling on the couch. You saw that, right? I mean, that got cut and pasted into every – it's become memes and so many – if you haven't seen it, I'm not sure what rock you're under. But the thing, her sitting in the dress – you know, in the with her legs up, you know, kind of kneeling on the couch in the Oval Office.
That picture is just disgusting because of the way she's sitting and who's there while she's doing it.
Yeah.
People that she has absolutely no respect for. She would never do that if anybody else was in that room. But the
she wouldn't be there if anybody else was in that room.
Presidents of the black colleges.
Yeah.
And she's on her phone, kneeling on the couch.
Yep. Like, oh. Yep. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So apparently that photo, according to Pastor Manning, that photo shows the level of sexually demonic spirits that are present in the White House. Yep. And that are at work currently in the Trump White House. Manning was quoted as saying, "I don't blame Kellyanne Conway for that," he said. "I blame Tribulation Trump."
For the demons or?
Yeah, because he's a demon and obviously having sex with her and... She would like it. And he said, "I can be like this around him because he can be like this around me and we're both that way." I don't even know what that statement means. I know what individually all of those words mean, but when you put them together in that word salad, I don't know what that means.
I can be like this around him?
Because he can be that way around me and he knows what it's like. That's the quote.
What?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is there... Okay. I don't know.
Well, we're not... Remember... Okay, here comes the more offensive. Remember, he's a Christian pastor. So he doesn't have a firm grasp on reality in the first place.
He's not the best at making sense.
Yeah. So for him to put together this word salad is really not... Maybe it's not that big a deal. And also... Not to let that comment go as his worst. "This is the ugliest slut I've ever seen," he said. "This is an ugly, stringy head slut." So, Pastor Manning, what would Jesus do? continue on in the female thread, I guess, if you want to call it that. Just this past week, we celebrated International Women's Day on March 8th. So in somewhat continuing in the same vein of the whole religious head covering thing and oppression of women, stuff like that. All right. Religion, and I'm going to speak mostly from the point of Christianity because it's just what I happen to know the most about. I've studied other religions, but I know most about Christianity. I think mostly that's just because I was born in North America. Religion represses women, and there's no two ways about it.
It was written by misogyny.
Well, yeah. So the Bible is so full of misogyny, it's sickening. I don't understand how you could be a woman, and then a woman who's read that book, and still not think that the God that inspired it, and the people who wrote it, are complete sexist fucking assholes.
Well, people didn't write it.
People didn't write it?
No. People were the tools that God used. It's God's word.
I'm sorry, Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
That's right. Jesus, titty, fucking Christ. Okay, so how about a few verses? Okay. "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" Genesis 2:18.
Let's see. Sounds like a dog to me.
Yeah, exactly. "I will make him a helper." Mm-hmm. I mean, bitch, make my dinner. You my helper. What the fuck? Exactly. What the fuck? And we're not done yet.
Oh, no.
That's one. Ding, ding, ding. "If a man is caught in the act of raping a woman who is not engaged, he must pay 50 pieces of silver to her father. Then he must marry the young woman, because he has violated her, and he will never be allowed to divorce her." Yeah, I'm Deuteronomy 22, 28, and 29.
I'm sure she's really looking forward to marrying my guy.
Why the father get the money? Even prostitutes get the money. Or they get a piece of it, and maybe it goes through a pimp or something.
Yeah,
but why the fuck the father get the money?
And they're somewhat agreeable to the act.
I get, yeah, I guess that's true. Somebody
who is forced to marry the person who rapes them will be continually raped the rest of their lives.
Exactly. Yeah, the whole, well, if you go with the whole no means no, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Not to be outdone by that. Deuteronomy 22, 23, and 24. If within the city a man comes upon a maiden who is betrothed and has relations with her. So now this woman is supposed to marry somebody else, so he rapes her. You shall bring them both to the gate of the city and stone them to death. The girl, because she did not cry out for help. And the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife. So, if the woman doesn't cry out, what if he gags her?
Yeah, that was
stuffs a rock in her mouth. I don't know. Yeah. What do you do in a desert town? you know, to keep her from crying out. Exactly. And nobody heard her. What if it was in more, like, whatever. It's stupid.
So she gets stoned because she didn't cry out for help?
Yeah, and he gets stoned because he violated her.
So what happens if, okay, so this is the same, so this happens, like, in the first one it says if she's not engaged, so if she is engaged, this is what happens, they both get stoned?
I don't know. I didn't write the stupid book.
There's so many questions.
Exactly. Now. But a lot of people say, well, that's, you know, that's Old Testament stuff, and, you know, the New Testament is so much more enlightened. So, right. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:34. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, this poses a couple of problems. One, I can't tell you how many times I've heard Christians say, oh, well, when Jesus came, he abolished the old law, now we're under a new covenant. Not according to fucking 1 Corinthians 14:34. And doesn't the Bible also say that all scripture is God-inspired and suitable for teaching?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's good on one hand, why is it not good on the other?
And Jesus didn't abolish anything.
No.
He says that.
Do not think I have come to abolish the law. Exactly. I have not come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it.
The old blah, blah, blah. Everything is still in place.
Yep. And lastly, 1 Timothy 2:12. And this can provoke a fair bit of discussion. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. So this actually gives a degree of credence to the Catholic Church's stance on not allowing women mm-hmm. to be priests. I would say, I think it's dumb, but they're being biblically correct. They are.
Yeah.
And when you see, like, for example, in Scarborough, we have that female preacher, Greta Vosper.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the church that she was actually a minister at, minister preach. I'm not sure what title she used. But she was teaching, and, you know, she did sermons and stuff like that. That is not biblical. So you have, you have, right here, you have a passage from the Bible saying, don't do that. But, and there's another verse that I didn't write down that says, you know, if a woman has a question, she shouldn't speak up in a church, basically ask her husband at home alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't open your fucking mouth. Just sit there, nod your head. Yeah. Unless you're in Afghanistan and then nobody can see anyway, whether you're looking pretty or not, because you're in a, and you're also in a separate part of the church, right? Or in the mosque, because you're not even praying in the same part as the men. So, Dean, what do you got for news?
Well, no, I was just going to continue talking about this bullshit about it's just ridiculous how any woman reading the Bible cannot say, yeah, I'm going to follow this. This is exactly what I want to be.
It doesn't, well, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why. It may be an oversimplification, but it seems to me that if you've read the Bible, then you're going to walk away from it. I don't understand. I don't understand the cognitive dissonance involved mm-hmm. in reading that book and then going, oh yeah, that totes makes sense. And I should this is something I should totally be doing. I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense to me. It seems to me that, like, I'll tell people often, please read the Bible.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons, or that's one of the ways yeah. I became an atheist. Is by reading it. You read it. You start at Genesis 1, you go right through the end of Revelation.
Yeah.
And when you put that down, it seems to me, at least, very simple that you'll close the book saying, well, that was weird. And you're not going to believe. I don't know how. I don't know how we can leave out some of the really weird shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's, I mean, so much weird shit. You know, like, is it weird that we had, you know, 6-day creation? Is it weird that we had sun on a fourth day? Is it weird that the Bible says that God created two great lights, the sun and the moon,
mm-hmm.
even though we know the moon doesn't create light, it only reflects it?
No.
Is it weird that, not you know,
with it.
Yeah. Is it weird that a dead Jew came back to life? Is it, like, at what point does the weird become too weird?
Yeah.
To accept anymore.
Isn't it weird that a donkey spoke?
Yeah, and a snake, and all this other shit. And you get into Revelation. And Revelation, which apparently is written by John. Was it John or Paul? I think John. I think John. You can email me, thecarogers.com, and tell me I'm wrong. But I think it was John. And when it talks about hell in Revelation, talks about, you know, a seven-headed thing with each seven heads having seven eyes and seven eyes and seven horns and all this other stuff. And it just sounds like a bad acid trip to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just crazy. You're exactly right. Like, at what point does it become too much to bear?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. So, alrighty. So then the next thing I wanted to talk about... Oh, actually, one thing that I wanted to discuss. My hope very soon is I've reached out to Spencer Lucas. Spencer Lucas is the organizer. He was the organizer for the NonCon 2015. And he's also one of the organizers, along with, I believe, CFI, for Imagine No Religion 7, which is happening June 2nd to 4th in Toronto. Amazing lineup of speakers: Richard Dawkins, Lawrence Krauss, Greta Rosper, who I spoke about earlier, Jerry Coyne, and way more, and I'm forgetting lots of them. So my point is that I want to have Spencer on to talk about a little bit and to give some insight as to why this is, if you can only attend kind of one conference a year, or even for a couple of years, because the sad reality is this, it's not inexpensive to go to, that this is the one that you don't want to miss. I'm salivating, waiting for my opportunity to get to see some of these guys up close and personal. So I want to have him on to talk about that. That's coming up June 2nd to the 4th in Toronto. So, yeah. In our continuing series of logical fallacies, the one I wanted to talk about this week is the no true Scotsman fallacy. I'm part Scottish. So does that mean I have to say no true Scotsman?
There's no Scottish crap.
I don't know. And I'm not even going to try. Should I read this in a Scottish accent? I'll fuck it right up. I will. I'm not going to try that. That's ridiculous. So, all right. So let's talk about the origin of the no true Scotsman fallacy. So... I'll read a little example, and then you'll hopefully get an idea of what it means. So, a real Scotsman does not wear underwear under his kilt. If you do, you're not a real Scotsman. So, the fallacy is that all it takes to be a Scotsman was to be born in Scotland. Nothing more, period. So, I'm part Scottish. I've never had a kilt on. I don't plan on wearing a kilt. There's a funny story. So, My best friend was getting married, I guess it's now 10 years ago. And we were sitting around talking about plans for his wedding. He said, well, I'm considering kilts because his background is part Irish. And I said, well, and I at that point I had known him for 32 years. And I said, well, I have two wedding speeches. I have my with kilt speech and my without kilt speech. Which one would you prefer? Now, I mean, I say that, you know, mostly jokingly, mostly. If that's what he had decided, I'd have worn the kilt. I'd have fucking hated it, but I'd have worn the kilt. And I'd have wore fucking underwear underneath it. I'll tell you that much. And so then as I did my wedding speech, I thanked him for denying my wife the opportunity to get a picture of me in a kilt and not having to see my knobby knees. So anyway, so therein lies the fallacy. And so how does this relate to Christianity? So the No True Scotsman, or some people call it the NTS fallacy, it is a logical fallacy. And it occurs when a debater defines a group of people such that every other group member poses some quality, for example. It is common to argue all members of, insert any religion, are fundamentally good. And to abandon all bad individuals as not true, enter my religion here, people. So the No True Scotsman fallacy can be applied to Christianity. It can be easily applied to Islam. It can be applied to pretty much anything, I think with the exception of maybe Jains, you know, who truly won't hurt pretty much anything. I don't even know how they survive because they don't like to eat even, you know, like, you know, plants were living things. Yeah. I'll cry over my steak as I eat it. But yeah, so the problem is that so, you know, so whether it be a Muslim who bombed something, and then some people say, okay, well, he wasn't a true believer of the faith. Yeah. Or Timothy McVeigh, right? The Oklahoma City bomber. Mm-hmm. I believe he identified as a Christian. The guy who blows up the mosque in Quebec City. And to distance themselves, other Christians say, yeah, but he's not a real Christian because a real Christian wouldn't have done that. If I, as a point of argument, if I identify as a Christian and then I go fucking do something bad, I'm a bad Christian who did that thing. Mm-hmm. And you can try to disavow me of that, but that doesn't make it right. And it's a way for members of that religious group to say, no, he doesn't have the right thing. He's possessed, he's evil, he's whatever it is, but he's not a quote-unquote real insert faith thing here.
There's two quotes, one story, one quote. I believe it's Sam Harris who says that, I forgot what I was going to say. the one quote, I think it's Richard Dawkins, said that good people do good things, bad people do bad things, but it takes religion to make a good person do a bad thing.
Yeah, I've heard Richard Dawkins say it in a debate. I've heard Christopher Hitchens say it in a debate as well. And I'm not sure where the original quote came from. I'll have to look that up.
The other one was Sam Harris. I just remember now. He was saying that people often say it's the fundamentalists that cause the problems, right? It's not the moderates or people that just follow the faith. It's the fundamentalists that are the ones that are blowing up themselves in crowded areas or whatever, flying planes into buildings. And he goes, okay, that's true, they're fundamentalists, but it's the fundamentals of the religion that are giving them this cause.
Yeah.
So you don't have to look at the person, you have to look at the fundamentals of the religion. If you have a fundamentalist, they're following the hateful fundamentals of the religion.
No, he said
he used Jainism as a counter to that. He goes, if you have a fundamentalist Jainist, the more fundamentalist Jainist gets, the less you have to worry about them.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true, and it's funny.
A fundamentalist Muslim or a fundamentalist Christian, they're going to cause problems.
Yep, and you have the ultra orthodox sects of Judaism, where was it just? Just last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, there was a story floating around about two more babies in New York City diagnosed with herpes because the Moyles, were basically during the, so there's an ultra-Orthodox sect of Judaism where as part of the circumcision process, the foreskin is like 99% cut off. And, but the last portion of it, through some fucked up ritual, the moel, who's basically a Jewish kind of priest or whatever, takes the baby's penis into his mouth, rips off or bites off the last little bit, and then spits it out with a bit of blood. Yeah. So, okay, so now that you've picked your head up out of the bucket from throwing up like I did when I first heard this story, the problem is that these babies are being diagnosed with herpes.
Yeah, fucking they had a cold sore, and they did it anyway.
Yeah, and fucking incurable disease that these babies will now have forever, could possibly die, make them sterile, all kinds of other horrible things. That's a fundamentalist claim that they had to do that. A normal, that may sound harsh, but a normal person, someone who is not a fundamentalist, like you said, would never do that. Never in my life have I contemplated, well, at what point do I take the baby's penis into my mouth? That's never crossed my mind.
Never even.
And it shouldn't, right? No. But it forces you to look at the quotes that you said. You know, it's like only someone of faith would do something like this thing. Only someone of faith.
Like I'm sure those moils in other parts of their life are very good people.
Sure.
They're nice to their grocer. They're nice to their neighbors. They pay their taxes on time.
I just suck an occasional baby dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, a cognitive dissonance, that divide in their mind that says this is okay because this book says.
Yeah. And I'm not going to pick on just one. Like you go to Christianity and, you know, it's like say that, you know, the tenets from the Bible. If the Bible is correct, there's a real stretch for me. I will assume for a moment that the Bible is true. Does that mean that if I were to come upon the descendants of Amalek, I would be duty bound to kill them?
Amalekites.
Yeah, because 1 Samuel 15:3, where when God ordered Joshua to go and slaughter all the Amalekites, down to the women and children, the cattle, everything, dash the babies' heads against the rocks, is that order still in place? If not, why not? Am I duty bound by Leviticus 20:13 to kill the homosexual friends that I have?
Stone them with stones, yeah, until they are dead.
Exactly. Am I bound to do this? If not, why not? Mm-hmm. And so it raises these very, very interesting questions.
Well, there's this, like, this, I mean, living back in those days when the Bible was written, it must have been just horribly brutal. Because they did this. They stoned people to death.
Oh, yeah.
And did all these crazy things. Now the moral zeitgeist has changed over the centuries.
Yay.
For the better. And now religious people are left to cherry pick the pieces out of the Bible that they like.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I've heard over and over again on the experience from Matt Dillahunty is that you cherry pick these pieces out of the Bible, and what is it that, what gives, what, how do you determine what to cherry pick out of the Bible?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's your own moral compass, your own moral fiber that tells you, yeah, this is good and this is bad. It's not the Bible that's giving you morality, because the Bible is full of all this horrible shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your own morals that say, yeah, I'm going to throw that away and keep this part. It's your own moral compass, your own moral guidance that tells you what's good and what's bad. It's not religion that's giving you your morals.
Yeah, no. I don't want to step too much on morality because that's a whole other topic. Yeah, that's a whole other show for sure.
Several shows.
Christopher Hitchens said once, he said, if you do those types of things where you pick the things you like and the things you don't like, his quote was, that's a lovely cafeteria you're getting your religion from. You know, where you go through and you pick this and you pick that and you leave out the nasty things that you don't like. But as hard as it is, because I'm maybe a little bit of a literalist, but if you're going to subscribe to this mentality, fucking do it. If I was a Christian, well, I don't know that I'd go and kill people, but I would wrestle with my own, I wrestle with my mind every day, because I'd be like, well, I believe this thing. And the, you know, it's like the circular reason, you know, the Bible's true because the Bible says the Bible's true. So I should do the things the Bible says. So I would be, you know, I'd have to wrestle with the social mores and taboos, because, you know, killing people, bad, versus, well, the Bible says I'm supposed to do this. And all kinds of Christians say, well, no, now the Bible, you know, the Bible has allowed for these, for the social structure and justice to do these things. I'm sorry, but nowhere in our social justice system are they saying, you're gay? Okay, stone this dude to death. Stoning, which is a fucking barbaric practice on the best of days. For those of you who don't know, stoning is not, you know, it's not like playing murder ball like when you were kids in school, where you get up against the wall and you throw big balls at them. It's not like that. People were buried, typically up to their shoulders, in dirt, and then just fucking threw rocks at the people's heads till they were dead. No. No. I would try to be the best goalie. I would want to catch the first rock. I'd be like moving my head to catch the rock, because I'd want to be fucking knocked out and have it over with.
Knock it.
Exactly. Please, just can you you with the big rock. You go first. Do you have a bigger rock? Can you just like right here? Can somebody paint a target on my forehead? Right, aim there. So, stop trying to make apologies for the dumb shit you believe. Please, own it. And, or, if you don't want to own it anymore, then walk away from it.
Mm-hmm. There's the true fundamentals that believe everything in the Bible as literally true. At least I can give them props for sticking with it and taking everything as is. Because you can't just say, yeah, this is true, I'll follow that, but this part, no, that's just allegory, whatever, like that. You got it's somebody who believes everything is literally true, you're sticking with it, you're doing it yourself.
That's right, A for effort. Exactly. You followed through. I don't know if I've ever met anyone like that. Like, even some of the crazy whack jobs, like William Lane Craig, or guys like Cy Ten or Matt Slick, they're not 100% Bible literalists. They're not stoning gay, well, at least as far as I know. They're not killing gay people.
Yeah.
They're not, actually, one of my favorite ones I didn't even talk about. Here's a good one. Back to the whole women being oppressed. I forget the Bible verse now. But if a man finds out that a woman is not a virgin on their wedding night, he is to take her to her father's doorstep and kill her on her father's steps.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And her father's, I guess his father would be happy. But
this bitch ain't pure. Hump. Dead.
Oh, thank you.
He's like, now I need a new wife. You got any more daughters in there that for sure haven't screwed another guy? Because I don't want to have to do this again.
How do you know?
Well, I guess it would, like, be the act of penetration, right? Like the breaking the hymen. The frenulum
isn't necessarily going to be intact.
No, that's true. It can rupture other ways. Well, I guess you're fucked then, eh? Do you go ahead and say, like, listen, I just want to let you know, you know, I'm not going to bleed the first time we have sex because, you know, something happened and I already bled once a little bit.
Well, they're supposed to be marrying them at such a young age that it would be intact.
That's a whole other can of disgusting worms. All right. You got anything else you want to talk about?
There was something here with Alex Jones. I don't know if
Alex Jones.
He's a radio host. Of a religious show called The InfoWars, and it's just basically he's scaring you into living the way he wants to live. So wake up, devil's coming to get you, and all this crazy crap he continuously says. It's basically just everything is doom and gloom, and you have to believe in Jesus so you can be saved after you die. His latest thing is that the devil is taking away space travel from us.
I really like that space travel.
Yeah, so he's saying that he wants to go into space, and he thinks that the devil is taking that away from us because God has promised us this great future. So I guess he doesn't like SpaceX and these other privatized companies that are trying to push humanity forward and getting us into space. It's just one quote that I wanted to read.
If there's any Christians out there that are listening to this, can you please let me know? Email me or reach out to me on Facebook, and please let me know the Bible verse where God promises us space travel.
Alex Jones's quote from his radio show. It says, "Humanity has got to get off world. We need access to the life extension technologies. Talk about discrimination. Forget skin color. I want the advanced life extension. I want to go to space. I want to see interdimensional travel. I want what God promised us. And I won't sit here and watch Satan steal it.
Motherfucker.
That's the fight. That's the key. That's everything. So apparently God, I'd like to see the Bible verses that promise us interdimensional
travel. I don't even know what that means. Extension. I don't even know what that means. Interdimensional travel. What does that
probably
mean?
From one dimension to another.
I get that. we can't even prove that another dimension exists.
Well, it depends how far into theoretical physics you want to get.
Right.
Because
I got a Zed in physics.
There is theories that the math only works if there are at least 10 dimensions.
Right.
So, but like these other, like we know of four.
But are they material dimensions?
They are, like, we've got our three dimensions, right? Height, width, depth.
Sure.
But
I can reach across a span.
Yes. But the fourth dimension is time. So
okay. You
can reach across a span over a certain amount of time. So those are our four dimensions that we know of. Right. But there are other dimensions, like fifth dimension, where if you're moving your hand like this, there's actually another dimension that you're moving through, but you don't even notice it because we live in this, our minds are constrained to this four-dimensional realm that we can conceive of.
So when I think about, when I hear something like that, it makes me think.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. But so I think about, well, does X, whatever thing we're talking about, does X manifest itself in reality, in our testable reality? If it doesn't manifest itself in our testable reality, then we can't test it. That's the same as saying God.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and so, it would be awesome if there were these other things. But right now, we don't even know for sure about these other things.
Yeah, well, it's like if you had a two-dimensional being.
Right.
He wouldn't be aware of us because we live in this.
It'd be easy for him to get clothes because he'd be skinny.
But people were also saying that ghosts are like shadows from a fourth or fifth dimensional being, because in a two-dimensional universe, our shadows, which are considered two-dimensional,
sure,
would be in their realm of visibility.
So our shadows are like ghosts to ghosts?
Are like ghosts to two-dimensional beings.
Okay.
Whereas ghosts in our three-dimensional world are
shadows. I wanted us to have a way to scare ghosts. Boo! I thought we could scare ghosts somehow.
Yeah, this is a completely ridiculous talking now, but it's something that I heard that I decided to bring up right now. But I mean, going back to Alex Jones, he wants us to make sure that Satan doesn't steal our space travel and our life extension and our interdimensional travel, because he wants what God promised.
So that doesn't make any sense. So if I have any believers out there listening, please email us. TheC8Rogers.com, or reach out to us on Facebook, and please give us chapter and verse for when the Bible tells us we get a life extension because he said technology. So is he talking about like implants?
I have no idea. He said technology.
Because he's saying life extension technologies. Now he's flying in the face of Scientology, because Scientology says you have to get rid of the implants by auditing yourself. Right? Because you have to get rid of those things. What are they called again? Satans?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get rid of those. Those are no good. Fucking Alex Jones wants them.
But don't get rid of the Metachlorians.
Right, exactly. Because then you have the Force.
But there's also the whole story. I keep forgetting what I was going to say. There's so many things. Oh, we got to talk about, eventually in the future, we got to talk to flat earthers. If there's any flat earthers out there, I want to talk.
If there's any flat earthers, you're fucking stupid. Sorry, that just spoiled the show.
I talk to these people. My wife's friend, her brother, is a flat earther.
He's got to come on the show.
Maybe he can come into the show.
He's got to come on the show.
Because I have so many questions.
Yeah. Like, how do you make it through the day? How do you do up your shoes? Come on.
I have so many questions. Like, they don't believe gravity exists.
Gravity's testable. Look. Yeah, gravity works.
But their explanation for it is things fall because they're heavier than air. Helium balloons float because they're lighter than air. But everything else is heavier than air, so they fall through it.
See, again, because I got a Z in science too. Are there other elements that are heavier than oxygen?
I want to know.
I don't know.
That's just it. If gravity, if something is heavier than air, there has to be a weight to air. And well, how does air get that weight? Through gravity. If you drop something in a vacuum, it falls.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, like, what is it that's giving, like, if something's heavier than air, you have to be, it has to have a contrast. So air has a weight. What's giving air the weight?
How does a plane fly around the world?
Well, they're actually saying that you can tell that the world is flat because the plane flies in a straight line. If it didn't, like, the pilot would have to continuously point the nose down to go around a circular Earth.
Oh, you stupid motherfucker. Nobody believes that shit. Tell me this person doesn't fucking believe that. That's a dumb motherfucker.
Shit Creationists say is a group on Facebook that you can follow. And it's this guy.
That's what I don't know about.
Shit Creationists say. And it's this guy that posts all these crazy shit because he talks to all these crazy people. And most recently, it's been flat earthers. And they're all about this flat earth. They've got an answer for almost everything. The one question that I need to ask that I've never heard an explanation for is, how does GPS work? How does your phone know where you are within 6 feet if there's no satellites in geosynchronous orbit around the world, around the Earth? How do we know what the weather's going to be a week from now if there aren't satellites watching the Earth?
I don't fucking know.
Because everything NASA tells us is a lie. And it's about scientists trying to lead right. us away from God.
NASA's lying to us.
It's scientists leading
they
us
don't,
away from
they,
God.
So they don't believe in fucking, like, we faked the moon landing and
oh,
shit.
Yeah.
Jesus, titty fucking Christ.
No, I mean, like, space travel isn't real. There's an actual physical dome covering the Earth.
What's the dome made out of?
I don't know,
really good plastic?
But the sky is blue because there's water outside the dome.
In space?
Yeah, no, there's no space.
What?
Fuck
off.
There's no space, there's a dome over the Earth. Because the Antarctica isn't just a landmass at the bottom of the globe, because the globe isn't real, it's a big flat thing. So the Antarctica goes all around the edge. And there's a 100-mile high ice wall at the end, which is why you can't actually touch the dome, because there's the Antarctica is before it.
100 miles high.
Well, whatever.
My brain hurts. My brain hurts.
They've been able to mash everything into this worldview.
Next week on the CA, we're going to have therapists here to help, to help us with all the problems that are going on in my head right now.
We gotta talk to one of these people.
Yeah, we need a flat... So we got to talk about... Yeah, we need a flat earther. We definitely need... We definitely need a flat earther.
Because it's right out of the Bible. They get their belief straight out of the Bible. Because it's somewhere in the Bible it says there's a dome that covers the Earth.
Oh, the firmament.
No, it actually says, like if you...
Isn't that the firmament?
In a specific way, it's a dome around the Earth. No, the firmament's land, isn't it?
No, there's something above the firmament. I remember reading something. I guess I got to read my Bible later. Yeah, there's something about, like, the something above the firmament or between the firmament and the sky or some shit like that. I forget now. I'm a bad Christian. Dean's looking it up as we speak.
I'm trying to see.
Because I'm too fucking lazy.
The Bible teaches that the heavens were a solid dome.
The heavens were a dome.
Yeah.
Like the Rogers Center? Can you open it on a good day?
Evidence for God. This is the I'm at godandscience.org.
That's an oxymoron. I'll do interlude music. Okay, so we'll find citations for this stuff. And actually, unlike what most religious people say, we'll try to back up what we say with science. All right. Well, that's been 53 and a half minutes.
Oh, God, has it?
Yeah. Oh, God. Please forgive
us. Yeah, you're right, the firmament. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the heavens.
Hallelujah, I was right.
And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament.
So
and it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. So yes, the firmament is the dome, and there's water on both sides. There's water in the oceans, and there's waters above the dome which make the sky blue.
I thought blueberries made the sky blue. That's what a teacher told me once.
Blueberries make I babies poop green.
Really?
I found that out this week.
Come to the CA for all your parenting tips. Okay. Wow. Okay. I got nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so in recapping some of the exciting news, now the CA is available on iTunes. I put I got an email from iTunes saying that it was now available. I have a help request in because the episodes still are not searchable on the iTunes store.
Yeah, I've got Podcast Addict and I was looking for it and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, motherfuckers. So, on my Facebook page, I put a link to it and I also put it on the CA's Facebook page. So if you go to the CA, search CA on Facebook, and you'll be able to find a link there that has episodes 1 and 2 up there. And we'll soon have episode 3 up there, and you'll be able to get it there. Hopefully I get a resolution from iTunes soon as to why it's not searchable. For now, I'll just keep on blasting the link that they gave me every little while so that people have a link to get to the podcast. And hopefully that gets rectified soon. So this has been the CA, and I will leave you now to the sultry voice of my lovely wife. And until next time, I have been Michael.
And I have been Dean.
Bye-bye.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. And just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are those solely of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here in 2 weeks or less.